I'm Haley.
And I'm Revis.
Come, sit with us at our family dinner table, where we're laughing, joking, and truly enjoying each other's company. When it's time to say grace, our brother is the natural choice to carry out this honor. He always concludes his prayer with, "Bless the hands that prepared the meal, and bless the hands that produced it." I believe this small token of thanks shows how wide and deep his love for the FFA and agricultural industry runs. This is known around our house as the FFA prayer.
If you've ever been blessed with meeting our brother, you will know his passion and love. If you go through his vast t-shirt collection, and it is vast, it will look a lot like the blue catalog. I would know because I've been shopping in his closet.
His faith, determination, desire to help others, and natural leadership abilities are just some of the traits that have helped him become the amazing person he is today.
He is kind, caring, hardworking, and incredibly loving. It is an honor and privilege to introduce to you our rock, role model, partner in crime, best friend, and brother. Ryan, we love you so much and are so proud of the man that you are and what you stand for.
So, with no further ado, with his retiring address entitled Mama Said, here's your 2011-2012 National FFA President
and our incredible brother,
Ryan Best.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said. There'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said.
Across this country, there's a day every child fears. Statistics say 4 out of every 5 children are affected by this. We are caught unaware and without warning. For me, this day happened August 1st, 2009. That day, my life changed forever. August 1st, 2009 was the day that my mama joined Facebook. Yep, from that day forward, you could count on good old mom being there to not only like and comment on every one of my posts, but every time somebody else posted on my wall as well. Since joining Facebook, my mother has only not liked 7 of my wall posts. Only 7 in 3 years. Now, thanks to Facebook, my entire social network knows how my mama feels about me. She even liked when my relationship status went from in a relationship to single. All my friends on Facebook, they now know that I am a mama's boy. That's right, I, Ryan Best, love my mama. But you know, she may have liked and commented on every one of my posts. She may have yelled louder than any other parent when she thought I got fouled in basketball. And she may have called me every single day for the first 3 weeks I was at college. But I wouldn't have it any other way. You see, Mama always has a bit of advice for whatever I'm going through. She and my dad, they've helped to raise me into the person I am. And she has worked tirelessly to instill values in my life. What more could I ask for? My dad, he likes to joke with my sisters and I and say that we grew up in the generation why, because we're always asking the question why. When mom and dad would ask us to do something, we always followed with the question why. Well, with this question comes 3 words, 3 little words, which are effective to ending any argument. Because Mama said. I'd be sitting there playing with my Hot Wheels, not doing my chores, and my sisters would say, "Ryan, you really need to do work. Get to work." Why? Because Mama said. Each of us have been frustrated by our parents, grandparents, advisors, mentors, guardians for giving us a similar answer to our question of why. The simple response of "because Mama said" used to get under my skin and burn me. Why does my mama think she is so cool that she doesn't have to answer me? Well, now that I've gotten older, I've come to realize that my mama really is just that cool. She's experienced enough in her life to be able to offer advice just because she said so. Maybe there's some things in life I should just accept because mama said. A lot of times, our generation gets so focused on the why that we forget to listen to the advice of those who know much more than we do. Throughout my life, my mom has told me a couple things that have really stuck, and I'd like to share them with you today. Number one, fight the good fight. Number two, run the race. And I listened to her. Why? Because mama said. In my high school, basketball was a big deal. I had played all my life, been on varsity since eighth grade, played in two state tournaments, and finally, it was my senior year, and everything I'd worked for had compiled into this, my senior year, my last year to put on that number 21 jersey and play as an Elida Tiger. My fellow seniors and I, we were determined that this was going to be our year. We pushed each other further, worked harder than ever, and the result was 4 hours of intense effort every single day. We pushed our teammates further, and they accepted the challenge, upping their game, with the exception of one person, a freshman, Michael. This guy continued to lollygag and loaf and generally go at half speed through everything, and no matter what we said, he just thought of some smart aleck remark and went slower just to spite us. Well, finally, one day in practice, we were doing a full court layup drill, and we weren't being quite as sharp as we normally were. No doubt frustrated, my coach began making us run lines for every drop pass and missed layup. Well, pretty soon, you better believe we started making our layups, made better passes too, except for, you guessed it, Michael, the freshman. This guy just, he continued to drop every pass, run at half speed, and miss nearly every shot he took. And finally, after we had ran about 50 lines for our friend, we started to get frustrated. We asked him to step it up so we wouldn't have to run anymore. But Michael, nothing changed. Finally, out of frustration, I had had enough, and I finally turned to him and I said, Michael, if you're not going to try any harder than that, why don't you just quit? And what happened next, I'll never forget. Michael looked at me with the hurt clear in his eyes, took off his practice jersey, handed it to me, and walked to the locker room. I thought, oh well, you know, it's probably better this way. At least he's not bringing us down. But the next day, Michael quit Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He quit the youth group we both attended, and he quit FFA. Why don't you just quit? I can still hear those words coming out of my mouth. I look back and I think, what would have happened if I had encouraged Michael to work harder instead of being so negative all the time? What kind of a difference could I have made in his life if I had encouraged him, spoke positive things to him, instead of just telling him to quit? Well, I told my mama what I had done, and she listened to me, as she always did, but I could tell she was disappointed. She asked me, Ryan, was that a fight worth having? Well, yeah, Mom. He wasn't trying, and he was going at half speed, and we were being punished for it. I am so sick and tired of running for his lack of effort. But Ryan, was that a good fight? Were you fighting for a good purpose in that? I don't know what you want from me, Mom. I mean, I was fighting so that the team and I, we wouldn't have to just continue to run and be punished and be beat into the ground because this guy would not work. Ryan, was that a good fight or a selfish fight? I don't know, Mom. I guess it was selfish. You know, maybe I could have encouraged him. Maybe I could have shot free throws with him or stayed and done drills with him. I don't know. Maybe I could have been a better influence on him instead of just telling him to quit. That day, my mother taught me a valuable lesson. She taught me to fight the good fight, not the easy fight, not the selfish fight, but the fight for what's good. What had happened to me? Had I really become a person unable to care about those around me? one who only looked out for what's best for me? Unfortunately, society tells us it's okay to look out for number one. It's okay to fight a fight that gets us what's best for us. This generation, we are in desperate need of conviction, something to believe in and fight for. Is our generation incapable of fighting the good fight? Are we incapable of caring for those around us? Whenever we consider a situation, we have to ask ourselves this question. Is what I'm fighting for good? Will this fight help others? Or will I just regret my actions later? We have to fight the good fight. Not the easy fight. Not the selfish fight. The good fight. Fight the good fight. Why should we listen to this? Because Mama said. Well, as an eighth grader, my baseball coach at my high school kept asking if I was going to play baseball for him. And I said, no, Jimmy Dale. I don't play baseball. But Jimmy Dale was very, very persistent. And finally, I gave in and said, you know what, I'll try it for one season. First day of practice came around, and I showed up in my boots and my jeans. Try to imagine Spastic Ryan over here, eighth grade Spastic Ryan, who had never played baseball before, picking up a bat for his very first time. I soon found out just why I didn't play baseball. You see, my swing looked more like a golf swing. I couldn't throw the ball from first to second base, and I didn't know anything about bunting or stealing bases or catching pop flies or defense or anything else. It seemed to me that the only thing I was capable of doing well was to sit on the bench, chew sunflower seeds, and count pitches. I struggled through practice, beating myself up for my lack of knowledge and ability, always being made fun of by my teammates. I went home every day sore, discouraged, and ready to quit. In fact, I begged my mother to let me quit, but she wouldn't let me. She sat me down. She said, Ryan, if you quit baseball, you'll quit everything for the rest of your life. But you know, Mom, I've never quit anything before. This will just be the one time. Why can't I quit this? Ryan, listen to me. The reason that you have never quit anything before is because you've never tried anything that you weren't naturally good at. Baseball's different. You're going to have to work to succeed. But I promise, if you can work and succeed at baseball, you can work and succeed at anything you do in life. Sounds pretty simple, right? Mama has a knack for making things simple. You know, looking back, she was right. I had never tried anything I wasn't naturally good at. I was going to have to work to succeed. I was going to have to run the race. You see, that day, my mother encouraged me, don't give up, run the race. You notice, she didn't say walk the race. She didn't say jog the race. She said to run the race. There are countless examples of people who are running the race. Take Chelsea from Mississippi, for instance, who struggled with self-esteem in high school. Though she made good grades, she never felt like she was good enough for those around her. She struggled with these issues for some time, and finally she had enough. She was going to quit. Chelsea was going to drop out of high school. But with the encouragement of her FFA advisor and her grandfather, Chelsea chose to stick it out. She later graduated in the top 10% of her class and became a state officer. Chelsea is running the race. Or consider the agricultural education instructor from Tennessee who is alternatively certified. When he got hired, everybody told him he would fail because he didn't have any experience with agricultural education. You know, he admits he doesn't know everything there is to know about Ag Ed and FFA, but he's willing to learn. He is running the race. Or take this amazing industry we are here representing. We're in one of the worst droughts since 1956. Though it's tough, there are a lot of farmers I've met this year who are still going to put seeds in the ground next year. You see, farmers, if they let 1 year of drought discourage them, we wouldn't have any left. Farmers know what it means to not give up. American farmers are running the race. What kind of race are you running? Are you really giving it your all? It is so easy to just give up and quit, or to only give half effort and not think twice about it. Today, we might be asking ourselves, why run the race? A better question is, why not? Today, mediocrity has become acceptable. We rarely reward hard work and excellence, and very seldom do we recognize outstanding achievement without first ensuring that those who only gave half effort are recognized as well. We can't continue to be a generation content to just get by. No, at the end of the day, we should be able to look back and say that we ran the race. We didn't walk the race. We didn't jog the race. We most certainly didn't quit the race. No, we ran the race. Don't give up. Run the race. Run the race. Why should we listen to this? Because Mama said. Gosh, you know, my mom is really, she's really told me a lot over the years, taught me a lot. But never before had my mother's advice to fight the good fight and run the race been as apparent as when tragedy struck our family. 5 years ago, my big sister Heidi passed away from injuries she received in a car wreck. Needless to say, this was a trying time for our family. I took my sister dying pretty hard. I became angry and upset. I lashed out at others for little to no reason at all. And I yelled at my family, taking out my anger on them. There's one night that I remember in particular when I let my anger get the best of me. It was about a month after Heidi's accident, and some friends of ours had invited my little sister over to take her mind off things. Well, I was friends with them too. I'm hurting. Why didn't they invite me? I held my feelings in as long as I possibly could, and finally, I went to sit on the porch just to cool off. Pretty soon, my mother came out to talk, just to see if I was okay. And I exploded. I began yelling at my mother like I had never yelled at anyone before. Why doesn't anyone ever ask how I'm doing? Why doesn't anyone ever ask me to go do things? Don't they know that I lost my big sister too? Don't they know that I'm hurting too? I yelled at my mother. Said awful, horrible things. Things I would never tell another person ever. And I screamed, and when I was done, I just sat there in silence, watching the tears run down my sweet mama's face. And then my mother said something to me that I will never forget. She looked at me and she said, "I love you. I love you." With those three words, my mama showed me just how much she cared about me. That day, she showed me what it looked like to fight the good fight. She fought for our relationship, never stooping to the level of yelling back or taking out her feelings on me. I know she was hurting, but she fought the fight that was best for me. And 22 years ago, my mother began running a race to grow me to be the best man she could possibly raise me to be, a race to comfort me when I needed comforting, a race to discipline me when I needed discipline, and a race to love me always. My mama didn't give up on me. She ran the race. With those three words, my mother showed me just what it looks like to fight for something and never give up. Do we have what it takes to fight the good fight and never give up? Does our generation have the commitment to return to the values held by our parents, grandparents, mentors, advisors, and guardians? Do we have what it takes to fight the good fight and run the race so that someday we will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? In a survey comparing the worst offenses committed in American high schools in 1940 compared to 2010, it is absolutely shocking to see what has happened to our generation. In 1940, the worst offenses committed in American high schools were running in the halls, chewing gum, and talking in class. In 2010, the worst offenses committed in American high schools were arson, school bombings, and gang violence. all three are felonies. What's happened to us? Are we really fighting the good fight? Are we really running the race? Fight the good fight and run the race. Why should we listen to this? Not just because Mama said, but because it's the right thing to do. Because we as a generation have been called to be better. We have been called to serve as an example. FFA members, it's time for our generation to rise up and strive to be more than a generation who fights for the wrong things and gives up when things get tough. It's time for us to lead, be the example for future generations and serve as the example of hope and faith. Friends, it's time for us to rise up, fight the good fight, and run the race.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. And we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous. And it starts with us tonight. We were made to be courageous.
Best Western, Rye Guy, or just Ryan, we will never forget your obnoxious whistling, competitive spirit, grandma sandwiches, or that crazy laugh. You are truly a teacher at heart, and you desire to grow all those around you. You are one of the most strongest willed people that we know, and you stand firmly by your friends, family, and faith. You are a man of character, and your belief in the goodness of people is apparent in all of your relationships. All we can say is thank you. Thank you for helping lead us this year. Ryan, thank you for being reliable, thoughtful, faithful, grounded, and caring. Grow always, Kane, Kenny, Seth, Alicia, and Jason. Ladies and gentlemen, your National FFA President, Ryan Best.
We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous.